Okay, sorry about that. All good.
Okay, great. Well, I'll use that opportunity to say even the not just two at a time, but maybe two total, like constituents. That again seems to be a thing that's emerging sort of nationwide. There's a very like sort of hostile or like very limited response that we seem to be getting from a lot of offices. So I don't know. It's interesting to see how we might need to evolve tactics. But it sounds like you guys did a really good job.
Sorry to interrupt, but I think in our case it was just kind of being aggressive. And again, aggressive not meaning hostile, but just kind of not taking no for an answer.
Yeah.
That's kind of and if you have a camera on them, then that puts a lot of pressure for them to seem like they're listening to constituents.
Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of the camera being on, this is Lisa. We have posted the video that Andrew and Katie made today on the Indivisible Austin Facebook page and on the blog. So after you get off this call, please take a few minutes and watch that reel. It really gives amazing highlights of the people who came out today prepared to demonstrate and to tell their stories.
That's great. So, Lisa, do you want to fill us in on the One Resistance rally and the Women's March?
Sure. So, Friday night was the One Resistance rally and march that started at Auditorium Shores. And Indivisible Austin had a table there where we were helping people find their congressional districts. People had the opportunity to sign up onto our email list. And if you're on this call and you signed that list, we have not input your data yet, but we will do it soon. we handed out some of our little zines that we've made. We have a blog post about it. It's a great little sort of flyer that you fold up just into a small pocket size. And people can take it with them with all the contact information for our district. And people love it. So if you print out a few, take them with you, drop them wherever you go, give them to your coworkers, friends, allies. People love them. So the One Resistance rally, I'm guessing everyone probably saw photos on Facebook or they saw the media reports. They estimated that there were maybe about 4,000 people who came out during rush hour on Friday night to participate in that rally in March. It was an interesting mix of people because the anarchists were also there following along. But it was a really sort of amazing homegrown response to Trumpism and an amazing collection of 40-plus organizations and communities in Austin that came together to make that happen with the support of Council Member Greg Kassar and the mayor and Representative Doggett were also there for the rally and for the march. So it was a great outreach opportunity for us. A lot of people had a chance to get to learn about Indivisible. And then on Saturday, we had a group kind of meet up. Actually, I think there were several groups that met up in different places around the Capitol grounds. Some groups kind of went together with people from their district. Others came to meet us with an Indivisible Austin sort of generally organized group. And it was wonderful to kind of put some names to faces. And then also see people out at the action at Cruz's office today who we got a chance to meet in person over the weekend. So the Women's March, of course, again, I'm sure you've seen the pictures and the news reports. It was overwhelming. Approximately 50,000 people turned out for it. I think it was a very emotional event for a lot of people. And it was just amazing to see maybe even twice as many people come out for it as the organizers had originally anticipated. So it felt great to be part of the international movement that was happening that day. And we gave out a bunch of bumper stickers and a bunch of zines, so it was another opportunity to get the word out to folks who maybe hadn't heard about Indivisible yet.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it was really wonderful. Agreed. I loved seeing the variety of signs, you know, everyone's personal art, creativity. And then I especially enjoyed seeing the children, like especially the little girls that had come out with their, you know, families, parents, mothers. And it was very emotional, which sort of is a nice segue into our next point here. We were going to just sort of take a moment and make a note of talk about burnout and self-care, which is really, I think, the stage that a lot of people are at right now. You know, whether you've been working on an Indivisible, been working with us for a few days or, you know, week or two, or you've been fired up and working on something else, like, this has been already a really long season of anti-Trump fervor, and sort of the one refrain I keep coming back to is this is a marathon, not a sprint, and it is important to take time for the other things in your life that you need to take care of and to spend time with the people that you need to take care of yourself physically and eat and just very basic things. Which actually, fun fact, I will be writing a bit more about in a blog post that will go up in our blog this week, because I've got some really interesting sort of articles, resources, a couple of thoughts to share on that. And if there's anyone on the call who would like to talk about that in the Q&A, you're certainly welcome to. This is part of what we're doing, is supporting each other and sharing. And sort of one final point, like burnout affects everyone differently. So, and differently in different times too. Like, I feel like this is a time of history that is forcing me to get really, really intimately comfortable with myself, learn my own, like, you know, strengths and weaknesses and just sort of own them and be, you know, work around. And in that vein, some people are introverts and extroverts. I would say I'm a little bit of both. So I need both. Time alone and time with other people. And, you know, for introverts, coming out and doing the march was really, really draining. One of my favorite signs I saw actually at the Austin March was, I'm an introvert and things are so bad that I'm here. And for extroverts, I think it's important to remember to connect with people and then also to take time to recharge if you need to yourself. So it's kind of an unnuanced take on this, but did you have anything to add on that point, Lisa?
Yes, thank you. So burnout may be something new that some people may be experiencing if this is your first time really coming into a sustained period of activism, where it feels like there's pressure to do something or to do many somethings every single day. And, you know, we put out through InvisibleAustin.com each week the list of actions that we have. And people sometimes will email and say, oh, I can't go to this one. What should I do instead? And I would like to suggest that we all give ourselves permission to acknowledge that we can't go to everything, we can't do everything, and that our individual absence from one or a few of the events or the actions will not put our movement in jeopardy, because if we aren't healthy, if we don't take care of ourselves, and if we don't take a moment to recharge, we're not going to be well to be able to be there, as Sarah said, for the marathon. So keep that in mind, and I'm looking forward to Sarah's blog post. I hope it will give some great ideas for managing that.
You know, I feel like you're speaking directly to me, Lisa, having been on all of about 4 weeks now. And if anybody else wants to contribute to this conversation, the way that you do that is you press 5-star on the phone. We will save the Q&A for the second half, but if you want to go ahead and raise your hand anytime, you can, and I will see it and be calling on you pretty soon. The other thing I can add to that, from the blog perspective, we do put out these weekly actions and daily actions, and I feel like we're asking people to do stuff constantly. It just so happens that there's nothing on the week of actions for tomorrow, and some of that was a slip-up. There was a thing about HR7 that was – I had it on the calendar for tomorrow, and then one of our reps, Roger Williams, said that he was voting on it today, so I moved it to today and got all panicked about it and started tweeting about it. But for the time being, that space is blank on Wednesday, and if you need a blank day during your week, that's okay, and I'm actually considering taking that day myself tomorrow. So thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Lisa. And anybody else who wants to join in, just press 5-star, and we'll get to you in a little bit. So are we ready to move on to upcoming stuff? The only one I know of, I mean, there's a lot. There's always a lot. But John Cornyn is actually going to be at a private event in Temple, Texas on Friday night. And I know that there's some activity and some people talking about maybe getting tickets or protesting outside, but I don't know if there's any real plan or if anybody has anything to contribute there. So maybe if you are planning to go to Temple on Friday night, go ahead and press 5-star, and we'll call on you in just a little bit. And Lisa, I know there's tons of advocacy days and things like that coming up. Do you want to mention any of those here or save that for another call?
I'll just say a brief word about advocacy days in general. As you all probably know, we have just started the legislative session here in Texas. The 85th legislature opened, God, it seems like a year ago, but 2 weeks ago. And with that come a lot of citizen lobby days from now until probably mid-March. So we are trying to compile a calendar of those upcoming lobby days and opportunities for activism. So if you are a member of an organization that has an upcoming lobby day, or many organizations that have lobby days, if you could shoot us a note about that and a link to information, we can start adding those to the calendar. And there may be some specific ones where, as Indivisible Austin, we move to do some actions. Noah, what email should people send that to?
They can send to ask@indivisibleaustin.com, and it'll get to the right place. You can also send us a direct message if you're on Twitter. The direct messages are open to everybody.
Nice.
So I think we had kind of a list of volunteer needs, and one thing that this actually goes along with the self-care and something that I have realized is that you cannot do it alone. And, you know, we are only strong as a team, and this is a monumental task that is a marathon, not a sprint, as Sarah said. And so we need people. One of the things we are struggling is what to do with people when they come to volunteer. So if that is your area of expertise of, you know, managing volunteers and coordinating volunteers, then that is something that we need. We are considering converting this conference call into a podcast. If you know how to do that, we would love to hear from you. We would also like to post transcripts of these conference calls. And so if you have one of those jobs where you can look busy at your computer and secretly be transcribing conference calls for Indivisible Austin, we would love to hear from you as well. Translators, it would be great to get more of our materials translated into other languages. We do have the Indivisible fold-up zine available in Spanish, but that is going to be an ongoing need, and additional languages can and should be added as we go forward.
And that is definitely a national need as well. So
yes, and
just
yeah, absolutely.
Putting that out there.
Yep, yep. We are looking to expand our Texas legislature expertise and blogging, and so if that is something that interests you, if you're looking to become more active in Texas state legislature, if you are a blogger, if you are just a researcher, if you are a policy expert, we definitely want to hear from you. Anything else that Sarah or Lisa would like to add there?
Nope,
that sounds great.
Okay. So we're right on time to move into Q&A. And again, it's not just Q&A. If you also just want to share a success story or if you have any input or feedback or advice on how we can all take better care of ourselves, then we definitely want to hear from you. So you press 5-star, and that will raise your hand to ask a question, and then I can unmute your line. And it looks like we have a question. This is in the 512 area code, which is not surprising because that is Austin. So I will unmute your line. You'll probably hear that you're unmuted, and then you can talk. Hello. Are you there?
Hi, it's Deemi, the email answerer.
Hey, Deemi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. But I do have a question with... I'm totally fine with keeping up with the emails. We're getting anywhere from 10 to sometimes 20 a day. But other than the people that are just asking for information, and I send kind of a standard email that I came up with, everything else I tend to forward to you or Noah, or I stick it in a folder there that says needs follow-up for Tom, and it's that folder's getting pretty full. So I need to know what to do with email, basically,
That's okay. We're actually looking to get indivisibleaustin.com inboxes and more of them. Right now we do have media at indivisibleaustin.com, which is more for press inquiries. But I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks we will have real mailboxes, and you know there could be volunteers at indivisibleaustin.com, et cetera, so if you can just keep up the great work in the short term until we figure this out, I totally feel your pain, and you're helping so much doing what you are doing, and I understand it can be kind of a pain when it's just one inbox.
Okay. I'll do what I'm doing then.
All right. Thanks so much, Deemi.
Sure. Thanks.
All right. Do we have any other questions? Remember, press 5-star or share a success story if you've got one of those. Yes, here's another one from 512. Okay, you should be on the air.
Hi, my name is Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi.
I was curious about using Indivisible to push for voter registration, because the reality is that ultimately, we have to vote people out. And I was wondering about having a group, a push to get our members to become voter registrars in our respective counties, and then those voter registrars can be at all of our rallies and protests trying to sign up as many people as possible. And I've been a voter registrar for a while, so a super easy process, one of the easiest things I've ever done in terms of activism.
Well, wonderful. That's great. I'm going to jump in real quick just with a note kind of generally about partnerships, because that seems like the sort of work that there are a lot of really awesome organizations out there that have been thinking about working on voter registration. But you're absolutely right that, you know, Indivisible has a lot of, you know, like momentum and visibility right now. That's a thing that the sort of the national group, and then also I think the Austin group that we kind of haven't gotten there yet, is considering partnering with organizations that are a good fit in terms of, you know, complementing our mission. And I absolutely agree with you that it's not just about, although Indivisible is focused on, the guide is focused on, you know, defense and obstruction. we do also need to think in terms of elections, you know, midterms, 2018, 2020, and voter turnout and empowerment is a huge part of that. But I think there are probably a lot of organizations that have a infrastructure that we can partner with, and therefore, really sort of make our work go even further with their help. That's my take. I'm curious to hear what Lisa or Noah might add to that, though.
I agree with what Sarah has said. I think one of the things that we, and by we I mean everyone who has come into the Indivisible movement within the last few weeks, are sort of challenged with is the sense that there are so many fires to fight. And in Texas, the voter registration one does seem like one that's burning out of control. But especially as we are young and we are growing, I think that it's important for us to stay focused on our work, focusing on the congressional level, and as Sarah said, the defense and obstruction sort of work, and then find the great partners in our community who are working on these other issues so that we can be allies together and sort of lend our strengths to each other rather than saying, okay, we're also going to be a voter registration organization or whatever.
All right, thank you, Christine, for your question. We're going to go now. Let's see if we can go, see if there's anybody outside of Austin. Well, it looks like all Austin tonight. That's great. We are Indivisible Austin after all. So let's go with another 512 area code. You should be about on the line right now. Hello.
Hello. I am calling tonight with a kind of an urgent ask. I've participated with several Indivisible Austin events, including the gathering at Ted Cruz's office today. And I'm with Refugee Services of Texas. I don't really want to say my name, but I work at that organization. And our urgent ask is basically that tomorrow around 10 a.m. Central Time, Donald Trump is going to introduce his ban on Muslims.
Oh, wow.
And it's the infamous ban, right? And it's not constitutional to ban an entire religion, but you can ban by countries. So there are certain countries specifically, like the number one country is Syria. There will be a permanent ban on all Syrians, which is tragic. And there are other countries that will also be affected. They will have visa opportunities limited, like Somalia, Iraq, countries that have been in protracted conflicts, that have many displaced people who are victims of terrorism themselves. So our urgent ask is tomorrow morning when you wake up, call Cornyn and Cruz and tell them to preserve the refugee program and to continue to allow people who are forcibly displaced refuge in our country, regardless of national origin.
This is Lisa. Can I ask, is this an ask that is targeted to senators specifically for a reason, or is it also an appropriate call to members of the House?
You can. It would be wonderful if you can do the House as well. I don't know if the White House – I heard that the White House is not accepting comments right now, but if you can get through to the White House, that would be wonderful.
Okay. And I'm a little bit familiar with refugee services work, and there are quite a number of people in our community who are from the countries where this ban will be, people who have come to our community as refugees and whose family members perhaps may not be able to join them in the future. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. So we're talking about having families separated. Perhaps permanently, if we're talking about Syrians.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Heartbreaking. I appreciate you bringing this up. I think
we'll get something up on the website about that tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate your guys' responsiveness. It's been a real pleasure working with all of you on these various other actions that we've done. So thank you very much.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you so much for
Thank
calling.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to go down the list. We have another 512 caller here. You should be on the
air. Hi, this is Alex. I'm in the 21st District and involved with the group there. I just wanted to first, like, say thank you all for bringing up the self-care piece. I think that's so important. There's just so much that's going to be happening. It's heartbreaking, like the last piece about the refugees, and it's going to happen a lot. So if we get too down on ourselves, it won't last very long. So I think that's really important. Thank you all for bringing that up. The other question I had was, in the 21st, and I think in most of our districts except the Floyd Doggett district, we're gerrymandered in the way that, you know, the majority of our districts are other parts of the state other than the Austin metro area. And long term, it seems really important to be able to mobilize folks in those places as well as those in Austin, like most of us. So wanted to see what y'all's thoughts were on reaching out and partnering with increasing numbers of people in more rural areas outside of our like metro areas of our districts.
I mean, I just think, yes, that absolutely has to happen. I think a lot of people who were attracted to Indivisible Austin in the first place probably didn't know that their congressional district extended to San Antonio or to Fort Worth or somewhere else. And so, yes, like, those groups are forming now, and we are in touch with some of them, especially the ones in North Texas and San Antonio and Houston, actually. And so by all means, be making those bridges to those other orgs. Lisa or Sarah, do you have anything to add?
I think
– yeah. Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that there are a couple people who have taken the initiative to make outreach to quite a number of groups and people and what have you who are in the sort of, at least from our perspective, outlying areas of the districts. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought on that. As we move closer to the time when representatives may be coming back into the districts to do town halls, that's something I think important for us to keep an eye on, because they are probably not going to be in Austin, and it's an opportunity for us to think about how we're going to get ourselves together to go to the communities where they will show up, and what opportunities we have for outreach or in reach or whatever while we're there.
Sarah, did you have something?
That's a great point. And I'm also, I just want to say thank you for the question, because I do think that sort of connecting, networking is important. And especially with the very weird districts we have here in Texas. You know, we do need to continue to make connections amongst metro areas, since we, you know, share districts with each other. And like, I'm happy personally to do a little bit of kind of legwork in making that happen as well. So just putting that out there.
All right. Thank you, Alex. So we're going to go now. Let's see. So I think I recognize this one. This would be Laura in District 10. Laura, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Noah, and hi, everybody. I'm the person that posted on Signal about going to Temple on Friday.
Great.
So I don't have a question. I just wanted to let y'all know that I did call this morning, and I actually got two tickets to go into the banquet, and I'm not really certain what I'm going to do yet, because I wasn't sure if anybody else was interested in joining or organizing something a little bit bigger. But if not, then I was going to reach out to somebody that I know who's actually a veteran of the war in Afghanistan and see whether he would actually go up there with me and try to speak to Cornyn directly or someone who's there with him. I don't even know if that will be possible. I've never been to an event like this, but I figured I just wanted to try to get my hands on some tickets to kind of have options available. So, yes, anyway, if anybody else is interested in going up there or has a better idea or a clear idea about what
actually,
to do, then
this is Katie, who organized the call to action today at Ted Cruz's office. And,
oh, hi, Katie. We met at the One Resistance March. I don't know if you remember. Anyway,
hey.
Hi. We briefly marched past each other, and I introduced myself.
Okay. I don't really, because I feel like I've met a lot of people in the last couple of days.
No, that's fine.
But, yeah, I'm interested in doing that and kind of organizing that. I was thinking of making kind of similar to what I did the other day or on Monday, and making a Facebook event and trying to get, as kind of sharing it within, you know, doing the same kind of thing, making a Facebook event, sharing it within all the Indivisible groups. I shared it on Pantsuit Nation or Pantsuit Austin, sorry. And, you know, that was really effective. So I'm kind of thinking, I mean, most people won't go in. I actually don't really want to go in. But I think it's good to go in for, you know, some people to go in. So, but I'm not really willing to pay $50 to go. And I think a lot of people wouldn't be, but, like, I mean, whoever wants to do that can. Whoever wants to stay outside can. But, you know, I was thinking of doing that.
So it looks like
you're
looking at two angles. You have the group outside protesting, possibly, and then Laura is actually there. Like, she will be in there, preferably with this veteran friend of hers. And so does anybody have any guidance on how she can make the most of that time?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important and what really works with these in-person calls to action is focusing on one topic. And I feel like maybe the ACA would be a good topic to focus on in a smaller town. You know, I could see that kind of hitting home for people. I feel like that's kind of the strongest, but you know, I'm flexible on that, but I do feel like we need to pick kind of one topic, for the people outside, at least. I mean, you know,
sure,
going in, you do what you want, but, like, I guess that, and then also I wanted to reach out to the Bell County Democratic Party, you know, and see, you know, get locals out there, because I think that would just strengthen that idea, so, and make connections with people outside of Austin.
So, Sarah or Lisa, do you have any advice on either the outdoor action or the infiltrator?
That's a great question. I actually just, fun fact, have sort of relayed that to another group, because I'm curious to hear from, you know, the collective wisdom of congressional staffers on that, if there's something that they recommend focusing on.
So, Sarah, we're directly connected on Signal, so if you want to just message me on there, when you get the feedback, that would be, I would really appreciate it.
So, fun fact, you should re-message me on Signal, because I've had to install the application, and it's proven a bit problematic. But but yeah, just
and I am actually not on. This is Katie again. I'm not on Signal, so I'm on Slack. So I don't know how we can kind of connect, but I would love to connect with you, so we could kind of organize this together.
So especially if you're planning any kind of secret action, I would really advise not organizing on Facebook or even Slack. And
yeah, even Slack.
Pretty easy
anything
to get
that
on
is,
Signal.
Anything that is like at all in the neighborhood of being borderline or even like needing to be proximate to legal stuff, get it on Signal.
Okay. I'm not on Signal.
Yeah,
I
Signal is super. It's super easy to install, and it's the Whisper. I think it's Whisper is its name, because
yes,
if you find
it's Whisper app. Yeah, no,
and then it takes like 2 seconds.
It's basically just group text.
Yeah,
messages.
I mean, I guess from my perspective, it's like I don't know much about that, so I'd have to like learn all about it, and then also.
No, none of us knew it either. It's super easy.
So, yeah, no. It's not really a learn thing. It's really just like when you download it, like basically the main thing that it's doing is it's like sort of putting an encryption shell around essentially texting. So
it's exactly like texting.
Yeah.
I mean, using it, you just type in and hit enter, and that's it.
Okay.
All right. So let's connect offline about
yep.
the temple actions, because it sounds like there's a lot of possibility there, and Sarah's getting some advice from the main group on that. All
mm-hmm.
right. I'm going to move on to the next caller. It's another 512 call. So let's see. You should be on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Kelly, and I was just wondering about something that was said earlier
mm-hmm.
about the two at a time or only two people total and getting these roadblocks all over the country. I was wondering if that was something we're seeing in a bipartisan sort of way, or is it only the Republicans who are putting up these kind of roadblocks? And I guess I have a three-part question. Wondering how bipartisan is the involvement in Indivisible, or is that even something that we know? Because I am here in Austin where we have this weird, like we talked about before, we have weird districting with the gerrymandering and everything. And when I went to the event today at Senator Cornyn's office, and I remember feeling like, you know, I'm out here with supposedly the power of the constituency, and yet there's, you know, maybe 100 of us, and there are thousands in my district who voted for him, and I did not, and I'm basically not his constituency, and he pretty much knows that. And I'm wondering, it seems like there are a lot of our elected officials who are not really concerned about losing their seats, here in Texas anyway.
Well, they still are. Here's the thing. They still are, because even if you are not among their perceived constituency, you still are. You still are in actuality. You are a constituent. They represent everyone, not just the people who voted
well,
for them.
Well, of course. Right.
Right. Yeah, no, which I know you know that. Like, not to be condescending or pedantic. but that's kind of like the bread and butter of the guide, right, is they represent everyone. And then also, even if, you know, even if they're reacting to people that they perceive to not be their constituents, so therefore, you know, whatever, any sort of negative constituent action is especially publicized, is not going to play well, like just in general. Them refusing to speak to the people that they represent is something that we can really amplify and should, I think rightfully so, because we live in a representative democracy. But at the same time, I just wanted to downplay your perception and your concern, because it is to some degree an uphill battle. And I get here in Texas, yes, but also, I don't know, I'm the eternal optimist a little bit. And Texas is flippable, kind of. You know, if we got everyone voting in Texas, if we got everyone involved, Texas politics could look different. So
I agree with that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I think this is—it's uphill, but it's doable. It's not gonna be easier. Probably really, you know, not always fun. Hopefully sometimes fun. But I guess don't lose hope. Maybe. I'm curious to hear if anyone has anything to add.
To respond to the question, to the part of the question that was about, you know, are we seeing this with Republicans and Democrats, or only with Republicans? So with our, you know, small local sample size of one Democratic member of Congress, with Lloyd Doggett, when his staffers came down today at the rally, she basically said, y'all come on up to our office anytime.
Nice.
So there's your answer, at least for our local sample.
Yeah, and anecdotally, well, that's what I see with the other Democratic Indivisible groups, or rather Indivisible groups that are in Democratic districts. They seem to have no trouble getting access and are welcomed with open arms. To another part of the question about whether Indivisible was a Democratic or Republican movement, it's a Stop Trump movement, and Trump is not a Democrat or a Republican, and so we welcome anybody who wants to stop Trump. Right now, I think it's largely the Democratic and progressive forces that are mobilizing and are interested, but I would expect, if we play our cards right, we have a much bigger tent, and more people will start to realize.
And we need one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I'm not optimistic, and I absolutely think that Texas is flippable, but, and obviously I know that they represent everyone, but I kind of was wondering, I guess, I wonder if the strategy is different, you know, here in a red state than it would be in a blue state, and I wonder, are there specific things we should be doing to reach out to, I don't know, I'm kind of losing my train of thought.
Yeah, we're kind of stuck with the representatives we have, and so we have to approach our strategy that way. We're in a red state. Most of our representatives are Republican, and so we follow that playbook. You know, in the blue districts, if you're in Lloyd Doggett's district or in a blue state, then yes, there are other rules to go by, which is more about reward instead of punishment. but right now, these are the cards we've been dealt. Okay, I'm going to go on to another couple of calls. We have one from the 224 area code, and you should be on the line.
Hey, this is Marika.
Hey, how are you?
I'm burnt out too.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of what I wanted to hit on, and I don't want to take a ton of time since I know it's almost 9 o'clock. But so I started my email group back in November, and one of the reasons why I've been trying to reach out to so many different Indivisible groups is that I've been basically spending all my free time, you know, looking up articles, doing research, reading bills, figuring out how to be effective, and then putting it into an email every week. And from what I can tell, it seems like most of the Indivisible groups so far are doing all the legwork themselves also. So I just think there's got to be a way that, especially around Texas, that we should be able to coordinate amongst ourselves and delegate, say, like Texas 7, you're on this month for national education policy, or Indivisible Houston, you're on this month for Texas State immigration, just so we're all not doing the same legwork all at the same time.
I think,
like I said, I think it's worth taking it offline and having a more in-depth kind of brainstorming and figuring out how we can work with less effort by each of our individual selves. so that's really all it.
That's great. Thank you for that question. Marika, I'd love to connect with you in particular about that, because that is a thing, like a thread that has come up again and again in the connections that I've made. People working across Texas and, you know, in Houston or Dallas, and even in sort of national conversations. I think this is a real opportunity for us to kind of, you know, expedite things and relieve some burden for people.
And I will say, I think you guys are some of the most organized, most effective groups that I've seen. Like, your calls have agendas, and you stick to the agenda, which I really appreciate.
Thank you
for all the work you guys are doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What would be the best way for me to connect with you offline?
I'm on Signal.
The only one. I'm the only 224, I think. It's from New York.
Okay,
Chicago.
Cool. We can.
We're roping her into Texas legislature issues as well, so. She has a lot of great scripts for that, too, and a lot of great research. So we definitely want to leverage that for sure. All right, so we'll be in touch, Marika. Thank you.
Okay,
it looks
perfect.
Like we have one more call, and so that's perfect timing. I will go ahead. It's another 512, and you should be on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. This is Jason from District 21. I'm the District 21 captain, and I wanted to just speak to Alex for just a moment and encourage you to message me on the Facebook group to get involved in our outreach group. We have an active outreach effort going on right now, and we'd love to have you involved. And then I also had a question. One of the things that we've run across in the last, well, 3 weeks since this thing started is that we have just exploded. We're probably going to hit 900 members in our group tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we're needing some infrastructure and tools to be able to manage that many people, the like flood of people coming in and wanting something to do and getting them organized. And I'm wondering if you guys have any specific recommendations. I know there was some talk about Action Network, and we've been looking at that. And I'm just curious where you guys are on that front and what you might recommend.
So this is Lisa. It's amazing that you have almost 900 people, and I think we're in a competition because TX10 is pretty close to that also. but the point is all of the groups are growing. They're growing very fast. We're only 783, so we have to catch up. They're growing very fast, and so yes, this question of how to manage the influx of people coming in. So with respect to Action Network, we for Indivisible Austin are still in the process of getting that set up. There is a free version of it. And that's the one that we're going to be trying out. It's free until you have 2,000 email subscribers. So we're going to try the free version and see how that goes. And hopefully by the time we have 2,000 subscribers, we have a process to pay for it. So groups, district groups, I think are also going to kind of find themselves in that position of hitting 2,000 members soonish in terms of potential email subscribers. So that's something we will have to really think about, what makes the most sense for us as districts and as the city-level group to handle that. So we're thinking about it. And we'll talk about it on the district call tomorrow. And then
okay.
The other thing is I think it was last week's call, we talked about the Unite organizing guide. And I don't think we wrote anything about it on the blog, but we can upload it there as a resource. So a number of groups, including Pantsuit Republic, contributed to writing this guide for organizers that includes descriptions of their onboarding process for bringing new volunteers into their groups and into their kind of work stream. So that might be something for your group organizers to look at and see if there are some practices there that you want to incorporate.
Great, thank you.
All right. Well, that is the top of the hour. It does look like there's one more person. There's several more, so we're not going to get to you all. This has been a very 512-dominated conversation, so let's take one more from 737, and then that will be the last call of the night. Okay, go ahead, 737.
Hi, this is Herman. I'm here in Austin. And I'm glad I got it. 737 is the new area code for Austin. I moved here 2 years ago. I got a 737 number. So I'm glad I got on. This will be a short message, but I think that at the beginning of this is my first call. At the beginning, you asked if we had any success stories, and I don't want to say this is a success story, but it might be something that would make you guys feel good. It certainly makes me feel good, especially specifically regarding is this a Democrat or a Republican issue? Who's with us? I have a Republican coworker who, was never on board with Trump, certainly didn't vote for him, but I've got him on board with Indivisible Austin, so it's not that he's just unsatisfied with having a poor example of a Republican president, but he went to the Women's March on Saturday, and he is ready to do the work to resist Trump.
All right. We'll talk about ending on a high note. That is excellent. Thank you so much for giving us that success story. That is definitely a winner. Anything else that Sarah or Lisa would like to add to wrap up the call? I'm sorry, we're gonna end it and get some sleep. And you can send us a direct message or an email if you want to send a follow-up question. So one of you wrap it up for us.
Well, just thanks everybody for joining, and just a little extra shout out to folks who were able to come out to the actions today. Which is not to diminish anyone else's excellent work today, but it was wonderful to see a bunch of people real live and in person. So looking forward to more opportunities like that.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. There's apparently an article about today's actions in the Statesman, and so I'll leave you with that teaser. You can go check it out. Have a great night. We will see you this same time next week. Thank you.